what man knows the things of God? I'm sorry. For what man knows the things of man except by the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except what? The Spirit of God. Except the Spirit of God. The way God reveals himself is through his Spirit. It is a spiritual connection that is made. That is the only way that God reveals himself to us, is through his Holy Spirit. Yes, we read his word, and it gives us an idea of who he is, but it's by the revelation of God's Holy Spirit through God's word that allows us to understand his nature and his character. I used to read this thing a long time ago before I even got saved, before I even had God's Spirit within me, and it made absolutely no sense to me. None. It was just a cool book with a bunch of cool stories in it. That's all it was. But once God saved me, once he reconciled me back to his kingdom, because I always belonged to him, and once he deposited his Holy Spirit within me, these words became alive. Did they become alive to you? Is this the living word in your life today? Amen. Why? Because it's by God's Holy Spirit that he's revealed these things to you, that he's revealed these things to me. See, we know people in our lives. Right? We got people that we're surrounded by every single day. And we know everybody on various different levels. Some people you know a little bit. You hang around them a little bit. You know a little bit about them, right? Some people you know a little bit more about. But then some people, like our spouses or our siblings, we know a lot about. Or we think we do, right? We think we do. Joe, you've been married 50 plus years. Do you know everything there is to know about Miss Charlotte? Almost. He's almost there, okay? 50, has anybody been married longer? I think Joan and Mr. Willard, I think, have been married just a few years longer, right? Mr. Willard, do you know everything there is to know about Miss Joan? Okay, is there any other marriages longer? I don't think so in here today. I don't think anybody's been married longer than these two couples, and they still don't know each other fully. Right? So the point is that we know people limitedly, do we not? We know them on a limited level. The person who you think you know will surprise you. They will even shock you sometimes. Right? Anybody? Does Miss Charlotte shock you sometimes, Joe? I'm putting him on the hot seat this morning, you guys. Oh, he's pleading the fifth. Okay. Joe's gonna plead the fifth. But people, people that you think that you know, they will shock you sometimes by the things that they do. You know, when I was living up in the dorm, guys, I was very close to a lot of guys 4 years, you know, and I thought I knew somebody. Man, they would shock me every single day. Something new. My wife even shocks me. Uh-oh, honey. They will shock you. But not only will they shock you, you will shock you sometimes, do you not? Some of the mess that comes to my brain, I'm like, man, where in the world did that come from? You shock you. How many times have you said to yourself, that's not me, where'd that come from, man? That ain't me. What in the world? Out of the abundance of the heart, right? Ooh, that's not me. So then, if we are limited in our knowledge of others, especially to those closest to us, and we can't even figure out ourselves, right? Because the things that we know about ourselves, we don't want anybody else to know, right? We don't want anybody else to know, that's for sure. And much less, we don't even like to know it ourselves about ourselves, right? So then, what makes us think that we have any ability to figure out God? It amazes me what these people come up with sometimes. You know, I've got a family member, and I'm praying for him dearly. But, boy, he is struggling. He reminds me of me when I was searching out there in the world. I was trying to grab hold of every theological and philosophical idea that would come around that would empower me and myself. You know, and my cousin, he's there at this point right now, and I'm really praying for him right now. But, we come up with these crazy ideas of what we think God is. Again, we're idolatrous in a sense. We build our own image of God in our minds. We build our own image of God in our minds, and we try to figure him out. If we can't even figure out ourselves, much less anybody else, how in the world are we going to figure out God? How are we going to figure out God? Well, to come to know God, he must reveal or expose himself to us. He must reveal and he must expose himself. The Bible says that his knowledge is unsearchable, people. His knowledge is unsearchable, people. You can't Google him. Okay? For those of you guys who like to use Google, you cannot Google the nature of God. It'll give you some crazy ideas about him, probably. But that's about it. It is limited. It is limited. It is finite. You cannot figure him out. Revelation is the place where God exposes. He pulls back the curtain and lets you see him. And he does this by one way and by one way only. By his Spirit. By his Spirit. The same resurrection power, that Spirit that raised him from the dead. The reason why we are here celebrating today our risen Savior, that very nature, that very power that raised him from the dead, guess what? We possess it. We possess it. Stick with me here. To come to know him means that he must reveal or expose himself. The Bible says that, of course, his knowledge is unsearchable. It is unsearchable. He must pull back that curtain by getting us down to a spirit level. To a spirit level. How do we know that God is revealing himself on the deepest level? The spirit level? Well, let's read in verse 9. We'll back up a verse. Verse 9. I hope I had it up there. Good. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has seen and ear has not heard and it has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready, okay, I want you guys to pay attention, that he has made and he keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Verse 9 is not talking about heaven and the sweet by and by. He's talking about earth in the nasty now. He's not talking about heaven in the by and by. He is talking about earth right now, this nasty place in which we live in. This nasty place. God must reveal himself through his Spirit because it's his Spirit that reveals his very nature, his very character. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It is called the anointing. That's what the book of John says. It's called the anointing. But you have been anointed by, you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from the Holy One, and you all know the truth. Or you know all things. See, the day you were reborn, the day that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you repented of your sins, and you said, Lord, no longer my will, but your will be done. God gave you an anointing. He gave you a gift. He gave you his Holy Spirit. If you are a true believer, if you are a true convert, and you are a son or a daughter of the King Most High, he gave you an anointing. The Word of God says. I didn't say it. John says it. You have been given an anointing. And believe me, if you read the book of 1 John, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking. He says children, little children. He uses that phrase. He uses the phrase beloved. That means he is talking to the household of God. He's not talking to unbelievers. You have been given an anointing. You have been given a precious gift that reveals the very nature and character of God. The very nature and the very character of God. The anointing is your capacity to make spiritual contact and receive spiritual information. I'm going to say that again. The anointing is your capacity to make spiritual contact with God and to receive spiritual information from him. It's your capacity. John says that you all have it. If you're a believer, then John says you have the anointing. Go with me to verse 27. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you receive from him abides permanently in you. So you have no need that anyone should instruct you, but just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide, that is, live in and never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing taught you to do so. Just as his anointing taught you to do so. So this is a gift from God that allows you to know truth about God. It allows you to stay connected to God. And it gives you a picture of who God is. It's the staying power in your life to stay connected to the vine. It is your staying power that keeps you connected to the vine. Let me give you an example. I love examples. Don't you guys love examples? I never teach without them. I never teach without them. Anybody have Dish Network or DirecTV? Right in their homes, right? Okay, I've got Dish Network. I've got a satellite system because where I live, you know, I gotta have my sports. I'm sorry, you know. I must confess, man. You know, I'm a sports junkie, and ESPN don't come over the regular old antenna analog. Well, now it's a digital signal. It doesn't come over those ways. All right. So I have a Dish satellite. I have Dish Network at my home. Okay. Now let's say the fact that I have Dish Network. Let's say that I have the anointing, okay? By having this Dish Network, and this is just an example, please, so don't get all religious on me here, okay? Just giving you an example, okay? So say that because I possess this Dish Network, so that doesn't mean if you don't have Dish or DirecTV, that does not mean you don't have the anointing, all right? You just need to get it, all right? All right? So since I have this, okay, I have this Dish Network, and my wife, I know, you can believe I'm using this analogy too, right? Then I possess the anointing, okay? See, I have a dish on my roof that allows me to connect to a satellite in space so I can receive a picture in my living room, okay? I've got a dish on my roof that connects to a satellite in space that allows me to see a picture in my living room. Luke has experienced my anointing plenty of times. He loves my anointing. He comes and hangs out in my anointing. So I have the anointing. I have the capacity to receive a picture from a place that I cannot see, okay? Outer space, okay? From a reality that I cannot touch, a satellite, all right? But I can see it where I live, okay? But in order for my satellite system to work, I have to make I have to make contact in some kind of way. And it has to give me a picture that I can see, right? And so in order for that to take place, I have to have what? A receiver, right? You know, that little box that sits underneath the television and lights up. My daughter loves to press every button on it, disconnects it and everything else. The job of the receiver is to receive signals from outer space, translated by my dish, okay, to give me a picture on my television set. My TV gets the revelation from what has been positioned on my roof in order to receive it from an invisible realm. Okay, did y'all get that? Or should I say that again? My TV gets the revelation from what has been positioned on my roof in order to receive it from an invisible realm from outer space, right? If I try to see a picture without my receiver, okay, I don't have the anointing. There'll be nothing on my screen. I will see nothing. I will get nothing. I will hear nothing, okay? I will not have the anointing, but I have Dish Network, okay? And so what I have to do is I have to engage my receiver, right? I have to turn my receiver on, right? Okay, I have to turn my receiver on. The receiver is your spirit. It's representative of your spirit, okay? If it's, okay, and again, or if your receiver, your spirit is not working or is not on, even though God is sending information all the time, you're not getting a clear picture. You're not getting a clear picture. If you're not getting a clear picture, then you're sitting there watching a blank screen, right? You're watching simply a blank screen. God has placed in every single believer a receiver that reveals his signals from this unseen realm And what is that receiver? God's Holy Spirit. He has given every single one of us the ability to be able to receive these messages. Every single one of us. To reveal himself on a physical, not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. But on a spiritual level. Again, the reason why we're not receiving from God is because we're satisfied with relating to him on a physical or a soulful level. Some of us are content just to kind of come to church, read the good book, say, I've done my Christian duty. I'm good. I don't do bad things. Hitler will go before me in the judgment. I'll be good to go then. People have these ideas, folks. They think like this. I have people that I know very dearly that think like this. I almost slipped. Because they might be listening. People think like this, and it's unreal. I used to think like this. But God has given every single one of us his spirit so we don't have to relate to him anymore on a soulful or on a physical level. Not with our mind, will, and emotions, but with the very spirit that God has deposited in every single one of us. Every one of us. Verse 12. And now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. I love that word, lavishly. He lavishes his love on us. I think that's a great adjective. He lavished his gifts upon us. That means he not only freely gave it, but then he just poured out as much as he possibly could and gave it to us in abundance. That's what that word literally means. He lavished that love on us. He says, let's clarify what kind of receiver you have. Let's clarify what kind of receiver. Do you have the receiver of the world or of God's Spirit? Let's clarify this. What kind of receiver? The knowledge of God is freely given. He loves nothing more than to know that you are seeking him and seeking to know him. He loves nothing more. Draw near to God and what? He'll draw near to you. Seek me and you shall find me. Knock and it shall be open. Those who diligently seek him, we know the persistent woman who kept going to the judge, who was a picture of prayer and our persistence in chasing after God, that God will answer. He loves those who want to know him. He loves that. Nothing more pleases him than us coming to know who he is. Nothing more pleases him. But you say, how do I know him? You ask that question, how do I know him? You know him because you're changing. Not the same anymore. You're not that same man or woman that used to hang on the blocks. You're not the same man or woman that used to run the streets. Doing drugs, prostituting. You're not the same one that used to handle situations by anger, but now you pray over situations. You look different today. That's how you know. That's how you know that you know him. You begin to realize you're becoming different. You say to yourself, how come I don't want to do those things anymore? How come I don't want to talk like that anymore? How come I don't want to... How come I have this insatiable urge to serve people today in my church and on my blocks? Come on, adopt a block. We need you, people. I'm going to pump it every single time I get up here. Why do I have this insatiable urge today to want to do something different? I want to serve people now. I want to do something for others that would bring a smile on their face that would bless them. Why do I have this insatiable urge to do such a thing? Because you're changing. Because God's Spirit is changing you. Just like he changed the nature of Christ in the grave from a dead man to a victorious risen Savior. He's wanting to do the same thing in your life this morning. Today, right now, you're changing. You're changing because you're seeing him clearly. Verse 14. But the natural man... The non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. for they are folly or foolishness to them. They are meaningless. They are nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. They're estimated and appreciated, he says. He contrasts or compares the man who is engaged with the natural world with the one who is engaged with the spiritual world. He makes the two contrast connections for us. Okay, he draws a perfect picture for us. The natural man cannot receive the things of God because he does not have the receiver. He does not have the receiver of the anointing. He cannot receive from the Spirit. They don't have Dish Network. They do not have Dish Network. So they're still playing with the knobs on that old television set. You know those old 70s set, right? The old black and white. Had the U and then the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it had like 13 channels on it. You guys remember those old things? And as a kid, your kid, or I would play with my mom's, you know, and just see how fast I can make it click, you know. They're still playing with those old things in life. They're stuck. They're stuck. They haven't caught up yet. They're stuck. They are stuck. So all they get is what their natural abilities allow them to perceive from the things of nature. That's all they get. Their man-made ideas, all these things, that's all they get. If you're a natural Christian, then you're not receiving from God. See, chapter 3, verse 3 has a name for that. It's called carnal. It's called carnality. It's called fleshly. We got some of them running around these days, trying to use the systems of the world to fix their situations and their problems still. People, I'm trying to save you some money here. If you're going to psychiatrist and worldly counseling, think about it. God's word has all the answers. Now, Christian counseling, I mean, there is a time and a place for that. There is people that need to deal with situations and problems, but it's a biblical perspective that we need to place on it. But if you're going to counseling month after month, year after year for the same old thing, come on, let's get real about this situation. Is something changing in you? Are you still dealing with issues from 5 years ago that you've been dealing with for five consistent years? What's changing in your life? What's changing in your life? It's called carnality. You know how you know a carnal Christian? Because he looks like everybody else, talks like everybody else, acts like everybody else, does what everybody else is doing. They walk as mere men, and there is nothing supernatural about them. There is nothing supernatural about them. That's how you know a carnal man. There is nothing about you that eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, and there is nothing like that in you or about you. You are regular. You are not super unleaded. Okay? You are regular. There is nothing supernatural about you at all. The natural man is not on the same frequency. Okay? We're on FM. They're on AM. Okay? They're not on the same frequency at all. They're not on the same frequency at all. They are fleshly. They are fleshly. The carnal man comes up with his own solution to things. The power of positive thinking. Dealing with things his own ways. Tuning out spiritual things and grabbing hold of fleshly ideas and things in order to fix their problem and situation. That's a fleshly man. He's grasping at straws, if you will, to the tune of nothing ever changing. Nothing ever changing. I was stuck there for over 20 years. 20 years. Self-help, transcendental meditation. You name it, man. I was trying it. None of it worked. I got the same old thing I kept getting. I was a carnal man. I was trying to deal with my issues on a carnal nature, on this primordial plane, if you will. I did not have the anointing. I did not have my Dish Network. I wasn't receiving anything from the Spirit of God. The man without a receiver can't get the picture. He or she can't get the picture. They can't get the picture. Even some Christians are not receiving the clear picture. Still, men think like men. And what is this? Chapter 3, verse 3, carnality. Carnal Christian. Fleshly living. So if you're going to know God in your spirit, and if that spirit is going to cause, is going to take you to a level that you will come to know him, then you've got to seek him diligently. You've got to seek him with everything. At the soul, you think that you know things. I thought that I knew things in my soul and in my mind. I didn't know a thing. But the spirit knows. It judges all things, the Word says. The Spirit knows all things. When you became a believer, God's Spirit merged with your spirit, and now you can receive the things that are freely given by God. Some more than others, of course. Some more than others. We know that there's special giftings and different things that God puts in our lives. That's why Joe's class was so important, about your spiritual giftings and understanding where your anointing lies, where God transmits more of his truths into your life than he does in other areas of your life. Because we're all different. We're all wired different. Everybody's satellite dish is positioned in a different degree. Every place you go, no one satellite dish on Dish Network is positioned in the exact same spot as someone else's. Why? Because we're different. We're different. Each and every single one of us is different. Our spiritual giftings are different. God wants us to know that. Verse 15. How do you know that you're spiritual? How do you know that you're spiritual? The spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. I love this. I love this. I love this verse. How do you know that you're spiritual? It has to do with how you evaluate and how you appraise things. How do you look at life? How do you look at your situations in life? Do you try to deal with them on a mental level? Or do you now, when a problem arises, do you first seek the counsel of God? How do you appraise, how do you evaluate the situations and the problems and all the things going on in your life? How do you do that? When you appraise something, you analyze it. Okay? You analyze it to determine its value. Anybody ever have a ring appraised? I know some of you wives want to make sure your husband got you a real ring, right? You took it somewhere secretly to have it appraised, probably. Well, you took it there to have its value analyzed, and you can have the correct information as to the value and worth of that ring. Well, the same holds true with our spiritual man. We analyze things. We judge things. Okay? We judge things to determine its value in our lives. Is it going to change us? Is it going to have any positive value, or is it going to have any negative value in our lives? We analyze it. We judge these things. So the spirit man judges or appraises things, but yet the verse says that is appraised or judged by no one. By no one. What does this mean? What does this mean? Why is he not appraised? Because he looks at things spiritually and he evaluates them that way so he or she can understand the things from a spiritual perspective while simultaneously not being understood by anybody. See, you look different from everybody else. Nobody can figure you out. If you look like the rest of everybody else, and people can figure out your ways and how you deal with problems and solutions, then what's different about you than anybody else? But see, you can be judged or praised by no man because you look different than everybody else. You handle things differently. You're at work. Somebody's getting on your nerves. You don't shout out and strike out against them. You begin to pray for that brother. People are going, man, what in the world is, what's up with this dude? I don't understand this guy. No one can understand you or appraise you. Why? Because you are different. You don't look like everybody else. We as Christians should not look like anybody else in this world that deals with their situations and problems in an earthly manner, in a fleshly, carnal manner. We have to look different. Therefore, God says, by doing this, no man can judge you. They don't understand you. You don't make sense to anybody else. You don't look like anybody else. Let me put it this way. If everybody understands you, you're probably not spiritual. If everybody understands who you are, everybody that you're in contact in your everyday world outside of the family of God, okay, I'm not saying you're saved, brothers and sisters, because, of course, you know, we know how we deal with our problems in the house of God. But if out there in your everyday world, in your sphere of influence, everybody can understand you, then you're probably not spiritual. Okay? You're probably not spiritual. If people don't say or think about you differently by saying things like, man, this guy is different. And I'm not talking about different as in weird, though we are. Some of us are weird. I know I'm weird. Okay, I'm not talking about being weird, all right? I'm talking about being different. She don't approach things like the rest of people. He don't approach things like the rest of everybody else. They don't think and act like everybody else. He doesn't think about things like everybody else. He doesn't look like the rest of us. What does the word say we are? A peculiar people? Do peculiar people look like the masses? No. We're not to look like anybody else. In other words, the appraisal from other people who don't know you or don't know God or carnal believers, okay, in their relationship with God, if they can't figure you out, if they can figure you out, then you're probably not spiritual. If you look like them, think like them, act like them, there is a high probability here that you're probably carnal. If everyone can figure you out, you're not in touch with God. You're just as figure-outable, if that's even a word, as everybody else is. You're just as figure-outable as everybody else is. Okay? Others should see an anointed believer in a totally different light than everybody else. They should see us in a totally different light than everybody else. Than everybody else. Verse 16. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsel and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? Okay, what university did someone have to go to be smart enough to teach God something? I want to go to that place. Okay? Who can instruct him? Who can give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Listen to the truth in that, brothers and sisters, this morning. Listen to the truth in that. We hold, it says, his very thoughts, his feelings, and his purposes in us. If we are saved believers, then we hold these things within us. We have the brain of Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, the word says. We have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. When Jesus walked the earth, see, he was in constant communication with the Father. He did exactly what the Father wanted him to do, did he not? You want me to tell you what this did for Jesus? Yeah? But no, it saved him time. You ask, well, how did it save him time? It saved him time. Why did it save him time? Because, see, he never had to make the same mistakes over and over to get it right. He never had to make the same mistakes over and over to get things right. If that would have been the case, he would have had more than a 3-year ministry, would he not? We're still trying to get it right, wasting a lot of time doing it. But it saved him time in the fact that he didn't have to make mistakes. He was so connected to the Father that he did, the Word says, that he did only what he saw the Father do. That was his spiritual connection. That was his dish network. His connection his revelation, his receiver from God, that he did exactly what the Father did. It saved him time. He didn't have to make the same mistake. He was in such perfect contact that he got it right the first time, every time. He got it right the first time. Wouldn't you love that to be the case in your life? I would love that to be the case in my life. Amen? Why? Because he had the mind of the Father. Jesus had the mind of the Father. Well, guess what you got? You've got the mind of Christ. So what Jesus had from the Father, you have in Jesus. Come on, make this connection, you guys. What Jesus had from the Father, we get from the Lord. The Word says that we have the mind of Christ. By what? By His Holy Spirit. By His Holy Spirit, you have the mind of Christ. But sometimes it's our refusal to analyze things spiritually that causes the dilemmas in our lives. We refuse to look at everything that's going wrong in our lives in such a light that you know, we react instead of analyzing and focusing. You know, they say count to 10. That's one of those earthly things, right? When you get mad, count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, no, we need to pray, right? That needs to be our instinctual reaction. Because why? Because we have analyzed things in our lives. We've gone through that, been down that road, made that mistake countless times, and today we know better. Why? Because we've analyzed it. We've looked at it, and we said, okay, God, this is how you want me to deal with the dilemmas in my life. We must combine spiritual words, okay, with spiritual thinking. Spiritual words, God's holy written word, and we must meld that, combine that, bring that together with spiritual thinking. This is a Bible. You guys know that, right? I told a story, I think the first time that I ever shared here, I told the story of Vince Lombardi, Luke's favorite story. He's a Packers fan. Vince Lombardi was frustrated with his football team because they just couldn't do anything right. And so he thought, he knew there was only one solution. He brought the team into the locker room. He sat them all down and he picked up a football and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. See, he had to leave everything else behind and get right back to the foundation, to the root truth of what would cause his team to excel. He had to take them from square one in order to get them to victory. This, brothers and sisters, is a Bible. If you're at square one right now in your life, okay, this is where the initial change is going to help happen in your life. But it can only come through the revelation spirit of Jesus Christ in your life. He has to reveal these truths. If he doesn't reveal these truths, these are just words on a page. That's all they are. Meaningless to you anyway, because you're trying to carnally discern things. We have to get back to the basics of things. So when you put these things together, okay, and you begin to think in terms with what the Word says about you, okay, you have now turned your receiver on. When you begin to take these words and you begin to live them, you begin to apply them to your life, and you begin to take these spiritual truths and turn them on, you have now turned on your receiver. Now you are able to receive the spiritual knowledge that you need for your specific situation, for your dilemma, for everything that's going wrong in your life. Not man's answer, but God's answer, amen? But God's answer. This is a Bible. But I know you're saying, well, mama taught me this, daddy taught me that. But that's not the mind of Christ. Our moms and dads meant well, some of them. Some of them taught us biblical principles, praise God. But sometimes we don't get it right. It's up to us to turn on our receivers. It's up to us. But you might be sitting here saying this morning that I need a specific word for my specific situation. Anybody saying that? I need a specific word for my specific situation. If you will take the word that you know, the written word, okay, and you will connect it to the mind and think in terms of those words, the mind of Christ, okay, now you have a receiver that can get over 500 channels. can get 500 different answers, if you will, if that's what you want to call it. See, my TV receiver, my dish network, I get probably over 500 channels, of which I only watch about four. It's kind of a ripoff if you ask me, but hey, I need them, you know? They say I need them, so I'm like, okay, whatever, man. All right? So you get 500 different channels or 500 ways to deal with your specific situation. Right here. Right here. See, it all comes down from one satellite, from one dish, one receiver, but it can open up a whole world of pictures, a whole world of solutions for your life. See, you got comedies, you got dramas, you've got news, entertainment, sports. You got all these different things. You got all these different solutions and answers. But do we apply them spiritually to our lives? Has God revealed something to you in your life for your situation? With all these things, now He can speak to your situation. He can speak to your dilemma. But you have to tune in your receiver. You have to tune in your receiver. This morning, we want to share one more thing with you guys. We want to share one more thing with you guys this morning. See, we have a group of people that are in this church this morning who have taken their Dish Network receivers. They have turned these receivers on. They have allowed the anointing of God to flow into their lives to reveal truth, to reveal God's word into their lives. That has anointed them, that has given them power, resurrection power to new life. For their specific life situation. Many of us in this room today had many different bondages in life, did we not? We're all that diverse. Not all of us had the exact same problems in life, did we not? Do we? We don't. We all have different things that go wrong in our lives, different situations, different attitudes, different reactions, different emotions. God created us that way. That was His blueprint. That's the way He chose to design us. But God has an answer for your dilemma. God has an answer for your situation. If you will simply take the truths, merge them with the mind of Christ, again, God will give you a multitude of answers. This morning, again, we have a group of people that want to share answers.